The St. George community gets its first look at possible new names for Dixie State College. The governor recognizes state agencies that participated in his Choose Health Challenge, and police continue their search for a missing Harriman teen. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Thursday, January 10th. I'm Brian Grimmett.
From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Dan Bomas. The company that Dixie State College enlisted to come up with a new name for the school unveiled a list of suggestions to an eager crowd last night in St. George. Sorensen Advertising spent 3 months doing interviews and assembling focus groups with students, faculty, alumni, and members of the community. Dixie State College is positioning itself to gain university status this year. The four names that made the cut are Dixie State University, the University of St. George, Utah-Dixie University, and Utah-Dixie State University. The company said Dixie State University was the most popular choice among those surveyed, while the University of St. George was the second most popular. Tiffany Wilson is a lifelong resident of St. George. She says the survey results suggest the name Dixie should remain.
Unfortunately, some of the voices that are loud in the dissenting point of view are those who come through here for about 5 minutes or even a year or two or even 4 years, and then they're gone. They don't have the long-term perspective of what Dixie means to us and what we foresee it to be for the next hundreds of years.
Those in favor of keeping Dixie in the name argue that for the people of Utah, Dixie represents hard work and community. But for Roy Wilkins, Dixie has a different meaning. He's a senior social work major. He also helped to lead an effort to have a statue removed from campus recently that depicted two soldiers carrying a Confederate flag.
They say it has nothing to do with the South, but, you know, I have papers to prove that they did glorify the Confederate South. No one else was talking about it. I mean, it's obvious that they have some racial undertones, but they're not addressing it.
About 5,600 people participated in the survey. In the report released yesterday, Sorensen Advertising recommended that regardless of the name chosen, the school should take action to distance itself from references to the Civil War. The Dixie State Board of Trustees will meet next Friday, January 18th, to decide what the new name should be. Governor Gary Herbert honored the winners of the Governor's Choose Health Challenge yesterday at a ceremony at the state capitol. The governor issued the challenge in September. Participants started by setting healthy living and eating goals and then spent the next 10 weeks tracking their progress. Dr. David Patton is the director of Utah State Department of Health.
And I think what we saw and what we were hoping for is that people, when they try this and they log it, they found that they can change their habits to a more healthy lifestyle.
About a quarter of Utah adults are obese. More than 50% are overweight. The Utah Department of Health estimates if current trends continue, annual obesity-related health costs will reach $2.4 by 2018.
Police are searching for a 13-year-old girl from Harriman who disappeared Tuesday night. Unified Police say Brooklyn Gittens was last seen when she went to bed around 8:40 p.m. and was discovered missing at 7 a.m. Wednesday. She needs powerful eyeglasses, but she left them behind. They think she was dressed only in pajamas without shoes or a coat. Brooklyn is 5 feet tall, 115 pounds, with blonde hair and blue eyes. A woman suspected in an armed robbery was shot and killed by police yesterday. The officer was part of the Joint Criminal Apprehension Team. Sergeant Sean Josephson says the team encountered one of two women suspected in the holdup about noon yesterday, and she was shot by a South Salt Lake officer who was on the team. The events leading to the shooting are still under investigation. The woman's name has not been released, and they're still looking for the second suspect in the case. Wild horse protection advocates say they've saved 29 of 41 wild horses captured on state land near Reno. The horses were up for auction. Shannon Wendell of Hidden Valley Wild Horse Protection Fund says she wrote a check for $7,720 and bought the 29 Mustangs. Wendell says she's confident a group from the town of Stagecoach that bought 8 horses will also protect the animals. The Air Force says it was responsible for the booms that echoed over the Wasatch Front Tuesday evening. It was conducting a B-52 bombing run on the Utah Test and Training Range. It says conditions were just right for the sound to carry across the Great Salt Lake. A member of Peter Cook's campaign staff says Cook has been called as a mission president for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Cook was the Democratic Party nominee for governor in Utah's last general election. He lost to the Republican incumbent, Gary Herbert. Cook won't know his assignment until March, and he'll begin his service in July. And finally, there are bookshelves, even libraries full of books about Britain's once and future king. But Betsy Burton says you need to make room for one more. She has this review of Finding Camlann by Sean Pidgeon.
Oh no, not another book about King Arthur. Author Sean Pidgeon's point exactly. His protagonist, archaeologist Donald Gladstone, is determined to sort through the detritus of bogus scholarship and sentimental claptrap to unearth the true sources of the Arthurian legend in this scholarly, compelling novel. Gladstone is himself a flawed character, yet likable nonetheless, a man who struggles with his past, both in terms of his career and of his divorce from a scholar more interested in fame than in truth. Linguist Julie Llewellyn, who works for the Oxford English Dictionary and is trying to understand why her own marriage is failing, is equally sympathetic. The two make an appealing pair as they parse through an old Welsh epic poem, searching for clues as to the location of Arthur's final battle, not to mention his final resting place, while at the same time they parse their own past for what has brought them each to this point in their lives. The poem in question might or might not have historic precedent, just as their past might or might not be precedent to something monumental in the present in this riveting literary detective story with such obvious antecedents as possession. Like possession, it's at once scholarly and an effective and believable love story. But Pidgeon's true concern in Finding Camlann is with history itself, with its schools of thought, its arcane methodology, its frequent mistakes, and with the truth it does and does not tell. The scholarship in the novel, both literary and historical, is intriguing, the poetry is powerful, and the mystery it purports to untangle is utterly engaging. I loved every page.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Thursday, January 10th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, be sure to check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.